The opinions and commentary expressed on the program you're about to hear do not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, or its advertisers, but it may weigh heavily on what's between your ears. It's the Krieger Files with Dave Krieger, brought to you by a network of radio stations who care about the communities they serve. Alexa, turn on the Krieger Files.
Yeah, and I guarantee you what Alexa won't do is play all the archives. No, you got to go to libertynewsradio.com for that. That's right. We are slowly but surely integrating all of our past shows onto that particular website. If you click on the Krieger Files, when you get to libertynewsradio.com, the RSS feed's set up, and we are programming it with all the stuff that matters besides the news of the day. That's, you know, goes without saying. If everybody's paying attention, which a lot of people are not because they're just trying to keep on keeping on, as it were, they just want to go along to get along and just, you know, migrate around the country and do whatever and spend their dollars going on vacation because God knows we might not have an opportunity again. And I will cover what happened in New York yesterday in our second half of the show today because there was some very sad but true things that happened there that we really need to pay attention to, that the Trump campaign is trying to now distance itself from. The one thing you should know is, though, is that payments from the government have become the fastest growing source of income for Americans, according to a new study by the Economic Innovation Group. This is a public policy research organization. And the report is titled The Great Transformation, that's TRANSFER, which states that Americans have become substantially more dependent on government support with the share of national income coming from transfer payments, more than doubling over the past 50 years. And where are they coming through? What programs? Oh, you probably already figured it out. If you're awake and you're paying attention to what I'm saying, you look at Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, unemployment, disability, food stamps, veterans benefits. I mean, the transfer payments have gone up 8% of U.S. total income from 1970 to 18% today, according to the report, crowding out private income from wages and investments. Yet we keep bringing on more government workers. And you see, more government workers means more money spent by the government to government workers as part of government transfer payments, and it comes out of our tax dollars. Now, Dr. Gary North, a long time ago, he was one of Reagan's senior economic advisors who I've had the opportunity to speak with, has said that Social Security is a Ponzi scheme and said that it is not going to last forever. At some point in time, it is going to meet its maker, so to speak. It is a Ponzi scheme, and the reason it would fall apart is because all the Gen Zers out there who are complaining about not being able to make enough money to live and get my nails done and get a mani-pedi and do all those things that is all about me, me, me. Well, you know, sorry about that, but, you know, if you're depending on Gen Z to get you by and you are one of the older Americans that is drawing Social Security, understand that the idea about the raw deal, I call it the raw deal, not the new deal, was that, you know, you've got the government playing nanny state for you, and this nanny state goes on and on and on until you die. And that's why so many people have labeled Medicare death benefits for seniors. And it's kind of crazy because, I mean, Medicare, does it pay all the bills? No. And the thing is that Americans are paying for that every month, and they're forced to because they can't afford regular health insurance, especially when they hit age 65. And now everybody in the government is saying, look, you know, if you wait longer until you're age 70, well, you'll get more money from Social Security. See, there's another one. I call it social insecurity. And, you know, people have constantly been nagging at me saying, hey, Dave, come on. You put into that. That's your money. Because I was talking about this form that you fill out that you can basically unvolunteer because Social Security was voluntary, but Americans were fooled into believing that the government would take care of them if they simply enrolled voluntarily. But what the government ended up doing was it took the money out of the hands of we the people, put it into government coffers, into an account labeled a Social Security account, Congress took one look at that and went, ooh, and started salivating at all the money in there. Let's rape it and pillage it and plunder it down to nothing. And then they realized, uh-oh, we're going to have to be held accountable to the U.S. taxpayer, the ones that have been relying on us to nanny state take care of them. Well, that's kind of what it's turned into. Because, see, if you withdraw, you got to pay it all back. But you're saying, hey, wait a minute, this isn't fair. I paid into this thing. I deserve that money. You see how the raw deal is eventually going to fall apart? I mean, insurance, look how expensive that got. Property insurance, look how expensive that got. And if you're in places that are hit with disaster, like Florida all the time, well, some places, insurance companies just flat out aren't paying damage claims from hurricanes. State Farm has vacated the state of Florida. It no longer sells insurance there. So you have to look at the fact that, you know, we talk about a lot about consumer issues and about surviving in this nutty world of ours. And then, of course, you've got the elections coming up on November 5th. Oh, my. Yeah, that's a nervous laugh. Because everybody out there that is going to the polls, and you should be, and voting early when you're able, and getting your family to go vote early if they're able. Of course, if you go pick them up and take them there, that would be one nice helpful thing you could do to move your own future forward. But again, this name calling and stuff that's been going on with the hillbillery coming out and calling Trump a fascist, I mean, and a Nazi. I mean, even Eric Adams, the mayor of New York City, is like, hey, you need to tone down that rhetoric. People have called me a fascist before, too, and that is not what's going on here. Trump is not a fascist. And see, they're attacking him and indicting him right now because he's talking out against the Democrat Party. You see, the uniparty system is starting to implode on itself. And people are looking at the equation the way it is and saying, look, you know, we're tired of the nanny state. We were fine without it. Really. But then you've got all these people out there that have depended on the government that are living on fixed incomes right now. And it becomes problematic when you look at this legal Ponzi scheme the Cato blog talks about. Cato Institute put this out. Social Security is a legal Ponzi scheme. And of course, depending on where you are and over the course of your lifetime, how much you're going to collect in Social Security benefits. You know, remember the name Ida Mae Fuller? She was the first person to get a Social Security check. She worked for just 3 years before receiving her first benefit in 1940. And over that time, the total taxes deducted from her salary amounted to a mere $24.75. Not even 25 bucks. Yet her first monthly check came at $22.54, almost matching her entire contribution. And over the course of her lifetime, Fuller, Ida Mae, yes, she collected $22,888.92 in Social Security benefits. That's equivalent to nearly $500,000 in today's dollars and about 1,000 times what she paid in taxes. You see how that Ponzi scheme works? And see, a majority of the people out there continue to believe Social Security functions as a mandatory savings system, but that's not. It's not a mandatory savings system. That's not how it works. Unlike a genuine savings account where individual contributions accumulate and grow over time with interest, Social Security structure is far more akin to a classic Ponzi scheme because early recipients get far more in benefits than they ever paid in while future generations face escalating costs in order to sustain the system. And then people are like, well, I got a lousy Social Security check and I didn't make that much because I didn't put that much in. Well, darn. You know, see, this is one of the reasons why I have no intention on retiring. Nope, I'm going to drop dead right at this microphone. That's just the way it goes. You know, some people have realized, hey, you know, we're going to have to work all our lives. I'll look at it this way. You know, Moses had the strength of an ox and an eye of an eagle when he was taken up on Mount Nebo. So you look at that. He never retired. No, he did the Lord's work. That's what we do here on LibertyNewsRadio.com. But you see, this article the Cato Institute put out, I mean, this really gets to the core of why Social Security is unsustainable and how we need to be paying attention to our futures and start investing in something that makes economic sense. Oh, I got a solution. How about ourselves? Wouldn't that be a good idea? Yeah. We need to take a hint here. We'll be back to talk about the garbage in your drinking water after these words. Stay with us.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
From the ranks of the disenfranchised, it's the government's worst nightmare. It's the Krieger Files.
All right, here we are, 18 minutes after the hour, rocking in the saddle on this Monday, where we cover a lot of news out there. How does it feel to be a disenfranchised 14th Amendment citizen instead of a U.S. U.S. citizen, that small c, rather than American citizen, capital C. No, you're a small c corporate citizen. Yeah. How does it feel to be that way? See, that's what the Social Security nanny state's all about. See, but we still have a constitutional right to vote. And you want to vote for the Socialist Party? You want to vote for Tampon Tim and Chlamydia Harris? You go right ahead. You'll have 4 more years of the same crap we've had the last 4 years. And they keep using the same Obama playbook, hopey changey, hopey changey, hopey changey. And as Dr. Phil would say, how's that working out for you? All right, so now we move along to what is happening to 95 million Americans. We're looking at exposure to cancer-causing chemicals in tap water because, according to a recent study, over 40% of public supply wells and nearly 1 in 5 domestic wells examined were estimated to be contaminated with PFAS chemicals. Yeah. These are used in a wide range of items like firefighting foams, cleaning products, water repellents, paints, stain-resistant fabrics, non-stick cookware. These forever chemicals do not easily break down in the environment. And if you don't have some sort of way to filter your water, this is one of the reasons I got Opp County Water, because I called and I said, I got a simple question. Could you answer it for me? She said, well, what is it? I said, is there fluoride in our water? She said, yes, there is. I said, thank you. You just answered my question. I'm getting off county water. I switched to well water, and I filtered the living bejesus out of it. So now I'm drinking healthy water. Now, if a lot of you can't do that, perhaps you might want to invest in a water purification system or just get yourself a simple pour-over filter. I mean, that's an easy and very inexpensive solution to get rid of all of these per and polyfluoroalkyl substances used in your water supply. 40% of America is affected by it, at least. Something to think about, right? The U.S. has issued a multi-state health alert over illegally imported meat, believe it or not. The Ag Food Safety and Inspection Service, the FSIS, sounds like a commie agency to me, has issued a public health warning for meat products imported from Burma, also known as Myanmar. The alert applies to various meat and poultry products that were illegally imported from the Southeast Asian nation. And the investigation by FSIS is continuing. The issue came to the notice of the agency when officials were conducting surveillance activities at a retailer and found meat products, which are not eligible to be exported to the U.S., according to the announcement, shipped to Arizona, California, Iowa, Kansas, Maryland, Minnesota, Nebraska, Oklahoma, and Texas. According to the announcement, the items do not bear an establishment number nor a USDA mark of inspection. Of course, no adverse reactions from the consumption of the items, but, you know, you're looking at the best beef curry, the best chicken biryani, mi quick dry Mohinga paste, best Myanmar duck blood, Ain Chak Mohinga paste, let's see, Minthar Ghee dried fish, and Ea Chak coconut soup paste. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Burmese labeling, folks. Not approved by the FDA or the Ag Department or whatever the case may be. Maybe you should think twice about buying stuff from out of the country and start looking for more farm-to-table products. Do you think? By the way, if I didn't tell you sooner, I'm going to tell you now. Clocks are—it doesn't do a damn bit of good for this country. This disruption to our lives. This coming Sunday at 2 a.m. Eastern, you're going to have to turn your clocks back. Spring forward, fall back. Yep, you're going to have to turn the clocks back. Our computer clocks will reset themselves. Our microwaves will either be right or wrong until we move the clocks ahead in March. And most studies show clocks going back an hour has a little impact, if any, on conserving energy. What it basically serves is to disrupt our body clock. It disrupts it totally. I think it's useless. That's why a lot of areas don't worship daylight savings time. Delta Airlines, by the way, one of CrowdStrike's clients was affected by the faulty software update from the cybersecurity company. Caused those global computer outages this summer. Well, Delta's filed a suit saying that over the span of 5 days, it had to cancel 7,000 flights, impacting 1.3 million passengers and costing it $500 million in losses. Previously, CrowdStrike said that Delta refused offers of help following the update, that it's unclear why it fared so much worse than other airline customers. Over the weekend, CrowdStrike said Delta's lawsuit against it reflects a desperate attempt to shift the blame for slow recovery away from its failure to modify its antiquated IT infrastructure. Well, you know, just be glad it wasn't an EMP attack. Just be glad it was only temporary, because at EMP, those airplanes would have been crashing out of the sky, don't you know? A jury in the Bay Area, we're talking about the San Francisco jury here, rail transit officials in California's Bay Area have been ordered by a jury to pay more than $7 million to transit workers who were fired because they refused to get the jab. A federal jury in the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of California sided with six former San Francisco Bay Area Rapid Transit, or BART, workers who had refused to get the vaccine for religious purposes. And BART, according, was ordered to pay the group more than $7.8 million. Each person got between $1.2 and $1.5, according to Pacific Justice Institute, who represented the transit workers. Now, of course, they're going to get a little something-something out of that. About a week ago, the federal jury also determined BART had failed to prove it suffered an undue hardship by denying accommodations to the ex-employees in the case. The jury further found the six employees met the burden of showing that there was a conflict between their religious beliefs and the BART vaccine mandate, which was implemented in 2021. So now they're start paying out. It's not reparations, folks. California's got also some other problems here. Two refineries that produce 14% of the state's gasoline are set to close due to regulatory pressure. West Coast News reporting, California is on the precipice of losing two more major refineries. Valero may shut down its two California refineries. You know Valero Gas. Guess what those existing closures are already doing? They're requiring California to import 8% of its fuel supply. And now the state could soon face a greater dependence on refined imports. So, you know, it's not set in stone, but it looks likely. And, of course, the state assembly is freaking out. Well, rightly so. They should. They made some very stupid moves here lately. Now, here's something that affects homeowners that you all should know. It's about EPA standards. They are now targeting, these are new, they're targeting lead paint dust in homes and child care facilities. Now, what does that mean? It means that child care facilities and people who own older homes could be responsible for paying to clean up lead dust. That's houses that were built before 1978. They're going to now, under the new rules from the EPA, who acts like they're God, but they're not. They're just a bureaucrat, bunch of bureaucrats. Any lead paint dust detected in certain parts of child care facilities and houses from before 1978 are now deemed hazardous. Oh, yeah. Any reportable level of lead dust on floors, windowsills, or window troughs are going to be deemed hazardous. And you, we the people, you know, because lead contaminated dust can cause elevated levels in the blood, you are going to have to pay to clean it up. Gee, I wonder when they're going to start coming around condemning people's homes because they didn't do that, huh? Think about the writing on the wall. You know, it depends on who you vote in. Republicans are pro-business, and I don't really think, even if they're pro-corporate and you're trying to figure out which middle class chlamydia and her sidekick tampon Tim are going to support. Oh, you know, she came from a middle class family. That doesn't answer the question. You'll find that out when we talk about her in the next segment. The IRS is urging taxpayers to activate identity theft protection software and measures. Nearly 2 million potential identity theft cases were discovered by the IRS early in February for the 2024 filing season. And basically, they're asking taxpayers to sign up for the extra security measures ahead of the 2025 tax season by obtaining personal identifying protection numbers, or IP PINs. Identity Protection Personal Identification Number. Isn't that something? An IP PIN. Six-digit number that prevents anybody else from filing a federal tax return using a taxpayer's Social Security number or individual taxpayer ID number. According to the press release from the agency, you know, the ones that Biden said he was going to sick on America? Now they want you to go and get one of these numbers so that they can make sure it's you. They're tracking you. The Omni War, and there is one going on, the militarized ramp up to eliminate vaccine hesitancy. This is what they want to do now. So brace yourselves. The next assault of getting a jab is going to be more vicious, malevolent, and destructive. So we are looking at another pandemic. Don't know when, but it'll be pandemic, and it's going to be solved by, you guessed it, if Trump gets in office, you will not have this Operation Warp Speed redo. Because Trump got a little smarter, and I'm still wondering why Trump has not come out and said, hey, you really need to explain yourself as to why you let these people take advantage of you with Operation Warp Speed. Going to take a break for news. We're going to come back and cover the convention and some of the snafus it created after these messages on our news break. Stay with us.
Taking back America, one consumer at a time. It's the Krieger Files.
All right, we're back from the break here. One little note before we get into the election stuff. The Federal Trade Commission Chair Lina Khan, this is another typical Democrat, bureaucrat, agency type of thing. She's announced, and I don't know if you've caught this or not, the agency now has a prohibition on fake online reviews. Which means that if you're a business and you post a review that is false, because a lot of companies apparently had been brought to her attention through this website, reportfraud.ftc.gov, in other words, rat out your business neighbor and put them under, they're going to impose fines as high as $50,000 for violations of putting on a fake online review. See, they're now starting to attack businesses on the internet. So if you're putting stuff up there that is, you know, fake reviews, she says, not only waste people's time and money, but pollute the marketplace and divert business away from honest competitors. So the Public Interest Research Group said that research points to as many as 30 to 40% of online reviews being dishonest in some way. Hey, you know, if somebody's paying money to get online, you know, perhaps due diligence is required on our part. But again, this is like what I call the nanny state complex. And this is exactly what they're doing. They want to regulate everything, and now they want to rat out your business neighbor so that they can come and attack them and put them under. You know, you got levied with a $50,000 fine when you were least expecting it because you embellished something and somebody called you on it. You know, is that all the administrative stuff that you can do? I mean, can't you just write a letter and saying, hey, I disagree with that review. I think you made it up. You need to take it down, or I'm going to turn you into the FTC. Don't you think that might be the smarter thing to do rather than let the federal government get involved in your life? Because if you go to the FTC and you rat out your business or you rat out somebody else's business, you know, if it's dishonest, call them out. But if it's not dishonest and somebody may have embellished something, which occasionally they'll change a word or two or change a statistic or two, you know, it's up to you, the consumer, and this is a consumer message, rather than involve the government in your life, because they will be involved in your life at that point, and you will be exposed, and people will find out what you did, and if they rely on that business and you've caused it to be shut down with a weird filing or complaint because you're just that type of person that wants to root out corruption in the business world, whether it's true or not. If you make a mistake and you go after the wrong business, that's on you. You shut that business down and you put people out of work, that's on you. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if these workers found out, because the FTC, if they sue, they're going to find out who complained. They'll do a FOIA request to find out who complained, and they'll come after you. Remember that. Before we get on to the issues about the election, understand that Liberty News Radio and the Big Mig Show are going to come on to Rumble on the evening of November 5th. That's election night, from 7 p.m. to midnight Eastern time for a nationwide broadcast. And, of course, this is what we're calling Election Roundtable 2024. It's going to be held that evening, 7 to midnight, hosted by Sam Bushman, James Edwards, Dr. Scott Bradley, Lance Migliaccio. And, of course, the forum is going to feature a panel of notable experts, including Sheriff Mack, Alex Newman, George Ballantyne, Lou Moore, Lowell Nelson, myself, Peter Scoop Stanton, and others. I will also be broadcasting this on SQRradio.com. I'm going to turn the controls on so that we go live on that night. So SQRradio.com is also going to be carrying the broadcast as well. And, of course, we're going to be doing in-depth analysis, deep diving into the election dynamics. So I have my team here in the background that I'm going to be talking to and bringing online to talk about all of this stuff, to give me the updates from the various states. Just so you know, it's going to be a very jam-packed, fact-finding mission here. That's happening election night, by the way. All right, now moving on to the election and the things you hear or you don't hear. Before this thing even went down in Madison Square Garden, Hillary was running around yelling about how Trump is a fascist and how the MAGA people that are coming to this are Nazis. And you want to talk about divisiveness and everything? This is what the Clintons and Obama and everybody else has done. The name calling is it now. This is what they do. They don't have anything else they can do. There's no proof into what they're saying. They call them fascists. They call them Nazis. They call them whatever. This is an issue that people just need to realize is all divisive, and it's by design. We first opened with Nikki Haley. She has a program called Nikki Haley Live, and she proceeded to unzip Kamala, you know, chlamydia, and Tim Walz and everybody else. She proceeded through her program, and this is about roughly a four-minute clip, maybe three and a half. And we'll let you listen to what she said in case you missed it before we get into the actual meat of what happened at MAGA Square Garden yesterday. So here's Nikki.
Now let's go to what we know, the facts. Not that he's nice, not that he'd be great to talk to in the grocery store, but the facts. Under Walz, Minnesota has been one of the few states to raise taxes, even having an $18 billion budget surplus. $18 billion budget surplus, and he raised taxes anyway. Minnesota has the fifth highest top income tax rate in the country, 9.85%. Imagine paying 10% on your income. As a member of Congress, he voted against the 2017 tax cuts. Remember we talked about that? Remember we talked that if those tax cuts expire, 62% of Americans are going to see their taxes go up? He voted against those tax cuts. On illegal immigration, not only has he allowed illegal immigrants to come into his state, he has allowed them to have driver's licenses. He's allowed them to have health insurance. He's allowed them to get free college, all on the taxpayer's dime. He subsidized electric vehicles. He has no statutory limits on abortion at any stage of pregnancy. We know, regardless of what side of that debate you're on, abortion up until the time of birth is something that most Americans can't stomach. He passed a law that gets in the middle of family decisions when it comes to kids and transgender issues. That's interesting for a guy that says, mind your own damn business. And the thing that he says that freaks me out the most, go to cut three.
Don't ever shy away from our progressive values. One person's socialism is another person's neighborliness.
Yikes. One person's socialism is another person's neighborliness. That is the one that sends the chill up your spine. Minnesota's losing residents at a record pace, ranked sixth highest in America for families moving out. You look at the George Floyd riots. We all saw the buildings burning. What is interesting is the mayor of Minneapolis called Walls, and Walls declined his request to call in the National Guard. Declined his mayor's request to call in the National Guard when the riots broke out. It took him 3 days. Walls later said on his own, that that was an abject failure. He said that. You look at the military record inaccuracies, you know, I mean, him misrepresenting his rank. I will just tell you that knowing Michael in the military, knowing his military brothers and sisters, you can always say, okay, fine, you can embellish. It is just weird to give the wrong rank. It just is. I don't want to take away from his service, but I think that that's...
Well, but add it to the list of things.
Right.
That he's...
That's the thing, is you just have to say that. So, look, I mean, this is a thing I'll say. We are seeing a Kamala Harris that is basically saying, fake it until you make it. And so she's faking all her stances and doing 180s on all of them until the election. But the one decision she made was Tim Walz.
Hope you got that. Because if something happens to her, guess who's taking over, right? See, you're packing the Democratic ticket with people like they did with Biden and Harris in 2020. Because nobody wanted to impeach Biden because then look who would be president. You see, they're kind of lining the same bad decisions up one after another by design. Because if they impeach Harris for treason or anything else, Walz is going to be president. You want that? See, nobody thinks about these things. And they interview all these people on the street at MAGA Square Garden, and they're like, oh, yeah, I'm voting for Kamala because she's a nice person and we need, you know, she relates to me. And it's like, what, you're all stupid? Is that how she relates to you? Do you speak in word salad terms? Apparently some of these people they interviewed in the media outside of MAGA Square Garden, I mean, come on. Yeah, how stupid can you get? But it shows you how well mainstream media works to brainwash people. This is a problem. I mean, the Trump MAGA bunch, I mean, 20,000 people, they could have sold out the garden twice. I mean, 20,000 people were turned away to Madison Square Garden at about 4:30 p.m., 3 hours before Trump went on. I mean, amazing how all the people in New York came and rallied around Trump. Well, there was a problem with the rally. And what I'll do is I'll start playing the cuts after we get back from the break, because one of the people that spoke, the very first one up, comedian Tony Hinchcliffe, said something he should not have said and did things he shouldn't have done. And now the Trump campaign is distancing themselves and itself from this guy. Shouldn't have had him on. We'll be back to talk about it after the break. Stay with us.
With inflation constantly chewing away at the value of paper money, perhaps it's time for Americans to bite back. Ownership of gold and silver coins provides great counterbalance to weaker paper money value. U.S. Coin Capital provides physical gold and silver coins. You can reach us directly at 1-800-878-2646, uscoincapital.com.
Molesting your earballs one more time. It's the Krieger Files with your host, Dave Krieger.
Okay, here we go. 12 minutes before the hour, we're going to load this thing up with all sorts of commentary now about the last night's gig at Madison Square Garden. Florida leaders have denounced these disturbing jokes made about Puerto Rico and Latinos at the Trump rally. Yep, they let a comedian in to open the show, Tony Hinchcliffe. You know, he said a lot of things that made sense. We're going to play cut one for you, and then we're going to come back and talk about what he said that got everybody upset.
I don't know about you guys, but I think that Travis Kelce might be the next O.J. Simpson. Feels good in here. The other side's got a lot of crazy endorsements. Swift, Eminem, Leo DiCaprio, Beyonce. Every day the Democratic Party looks more and more like a P. Diddy party. Oh. Oh, okay. Hillary Clinton said that this is a Nazi rally here today. Can you believe that? For the most anti-war president of my entire lifetime, and she calls him Hitler. Let me remind you, Hillary, it was your husband who shot innocent people, or as he called them, interns. Yeah, Hillary, I bet you did not see that one coming. By the way, if I commit suicide in 3 weeks, I didn't. I mean, it's just obvious to me who the right candidate is. There's a guy out here dodging bullets. It is unbelievable, right?
Yeah, right. And then you went on. You were the first one up and 30 warm-up speakers. And then you launched into a crude and disparaging set of jokes about the conflict. Yep. Michigan black voters and Latinos. And, of course, then you attack Puerto Ricans. You know, he called it Puerto Rico a floating island of garbage in the middle of the ocean. And, of course, Florida officials jumped all over him. They were quick to condemn the jokes. You know, they're going to do this. You are not going to win any popularity contest. But now the Trump campaign is trying to distance itself from him. Big mistake bringing him on. I mean, maybe they should have pre-screened some of the content. I wonder about all the music that they played, whether they got permission at the rally to play it. Yeah. Well, Vivek Ramaswamy took the stage after that, and after about a 7 or 8 minute oration, Tulsi Gabbard came out and reminded us about the Constitution. Here's what she said in cut number 3.
Join me as I say these words. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. The choice is ours. History will look back on us at this moment for the choice that we make. Did we choose war or peace? Did we choose poverty or prosperity? Did we choose censorship or freedom?
I think that got the message across. And then, of course, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. followed Tulsi on stage. And, of course, you know, we heard the same kind of stuff that he did.
Kamala Harris giving a speech at the Democratic Convention that was written by neocons, that was belligerent, ugnacious, that talked about the domination of the world by the United States through our weapons of war, is the party today that wants to divide Americans. It's the party that is dismantling women's sports by letting men play women's sports. It's the party of Wall Street. It's the party of Bill Gates, who just gave $50 million to Kamala Harris. It's the party, and that the Harris campaign is very proud that it received the endorsement of 50 former CIA agents and officers, and of John Bolton, and of Dick Cheney. These are the people that gave us the war in Iraq, the worst foreign policy catastrophe that's ever happened to this country. These are the people that gave us the Patriot Act, that launched the surveillance state.
Oh, yeah, I guess he's got that all figured out. And if Trump actually listens to these folks, They'll figure out the military-industrial complex is behind it. Now, of course, Tucker Carlson came on. I would expect no less than for them to bring on one of the most popular guys in conservative media, Tucker Carlson. And the only reason why he's that popular is because he was on Fox. He got fired from Fox. And people who get fired usually move up the ladder in more ways than one. And then, of course, you know, we told you earlier about Hillary calling Trump Hitler and the MAGA group that came to the Madison Square Garden a bunch of Nazis. Well, then, of course, you know, to dramatize the event, cut number six, we're going to bring out Hulk Hogan. Believe it or not, this guy comes out on stage, rips off his T-shirt, and got this crowd really fired up. Here's what he said in cut six.
The energy of all these Trumpomaniacs is the most powerful force in the universe. And today, this is Donald Trump's house, brother. You know something, Trumpmaniacs? I don't see no stinking Nazis in here. I don't see no stinking domestic terrorists in here. The only thing I see in here are a bunch of hard-working men and women that are real Americans, brother.
Yeah, he got him all fired up, didn't he? Well, you know, then of course, we had other cuts. I'm going to run out of time here. I can't play them all, but I mean, you had, Dr. Phil, J.D. Vance, Dana White from the UFC, Elon Musk, Alina Haba, and even Melania made a surprise appearance before she introduced her husband, of course, the former president who she wishes would become the new one so she can move in and redecorate the White House, but not in time for Christmas. Did you like the way she decorated the White House, by the way? Ripped ballots. Yeah. Yeah, there was a video circulating on social media this week, appeared to show somebody ripping up ballots voted for, you know, Trump, marked for Bucks County, Pennsylvania. And of course, the Board of Elections there reviewed the footage and said it was inauthentic. And of course, the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, and the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, they all are investigating this. There was fraud found among 2,500 voter registration forms submitted en masse in Lancaster County as well. And now the authorities there are investigating it. Amazing how that works, right? From small towns to big cities, Wisconsin voters have turned out big. You gotta love that. It's saying something. We got a Florida postal worker accused of dumping 1,000 pieces of mail, which included at least one election ballot. Boy, they're even cracking down on federal government workers, aren't they? And of course, an appeals court has overturned a Mississippi law that allows mail-in ballots after Election Day. Well, I guess that speaks something for what the court's doing, which is wonder why Trump is leading Harris by at least 2% in the national poll. I think that is much higher given the fact that China is trying to hack into our system. Anyway, God bless you. God bless the United States of America. See you tomorrow.